This is Black Jeopardy.
Those words began a recent Saturday Night Live skit, which has captured more attention from political writers than many a political speech. On Black Jeopardy, the host Kenan Thompson offers answers and questions you would supposedly only get right if you were clued into black culture.
Let's see our categories. We got big girls. I'm gonna pray on this. They out here saying, and as always, white people.
Yet something happens in the skit after it's revealed that one of the three contestants is white, a blue-collar guy in a Donald Trump Make America Great Again hat played by Tom Hanks. Jamel Bowie of Slate is one of many who wrote about this, and he's in our studios. Good morning. Thanks for coming by.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's listen to one of the exchanges involving Tom Hanks.
They out here saying the new iPhone wants your thumbprint for your protection. Oh, okay then. Doug. Well,
what is? I don't think so. That's how they get you.
Yes! Yes!
I don't trust that.
Me either.
No, I read that go straight to the government.
So the African-American characters are saying, wait a minute, you're paranoid too.
Right. It's worth saying right before this moment, they're all very skeptical of Doug and whether or not he even belongs. But that answer and subsequent answers begins an interaction where the African-American characters, the two black contestants, Kenan Thompson, and the audience, in a way, begins to see Doug as one of them, or at least someone who understands the world in similar ways as them.
And why is that surprising?
I think it's surprising just as a viewer, because when you see Doug's outfit, or Tom Hanks' character, he's in this denim jacket, he is wearing the Make America Great Again hat.
He's got the goatee.
Right, right. And you imagine that this is going to be a caricature and mainly poking fun at someone like Doug. But in fact, it is, I think, an attempt at building empathy, that Doug is blue-collar, African-American culture, and especially the working culture of African-Americans is very much rooted in some kind of rural environment as a lot of white blue-collar culture is, and both groups feel a kind of disenfranchisement, a kind of disempowerment that comes across how they understand the world. And so through this sketch, and it's very humorous and lighthearted, you begin to get see inklings of that and evidence of that.
You know, we had a conversation with President Obama in July, and he said something that I was reminded of when watching this skit. He was saying that historically in the South, you had African-Americans and you had poor white people who were farmers who were from similar economic backgrounds but kept apart by race. Is that the point of this skit here?
I think that is the point of this sketch, or at least one of the implications of the sketch, up until the very end of the sketch. And so the last joke, the last setup is the Final Jeopardy category, which is Lives That Matter.
Let's listen to that. Let's listen to that last joke.
Let's take a look at our Final Jeopardy category, Lives That Matter. Well, it was good while it lasted, Doug.
I know, I got a lot to say about this.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. When we come back...
Everybody's looking at Doug. Everybody's looking at Doug to see if he wants to say which lives matter. He doesn't have anything to say at first.
Right, right. And I think the implication from Doug's answer, or Doug's beginning of an answer, I have a lot of things to say about this, is that he isn't going to say what we as viewers know is the correct answer, Black Lives Matter. He might say All Lives Matter, or Blue Lives Matter, or he just might rant about the question in general. And I think that setup and punchline recontextualizes the entire sketch. Before then, it is very much a sketch about common culture, about empathy. But after that, it becomes a sketch about the chief obstacle, right? It becomes a sketch about the fact that Black Americans have this core concern about their safety, about their status as equal citizens, that it's kind of overriding above all else. And if someone like Doug can't get behind it, then all that other common culture and common empathy sort of is irrelevant as far as politics goes. They can be friends, they can like each other, but if they're going to cooperate, they need to agree on this very core concern to black people.
Is this sketch on Saturday Night Live saying something that a lot of political writing has not? There's been a lot of writing about Trump voters and other kinds of voters this year.
I think it is, in sort of subtle ways. A lot of the writing on Trump voters this year has been very empathetic and very you might even say sort of permissive about how voters are reacting. It's sort of it's I wouldn't say it's denying them agency, but it kind of sidesteps the question of exactly who they are supporting and why, not why they are supporting, but the implications of their support. And it seems to suggest that there really aren't any consequences for other people from the support for Trump among some white working class voters. And I think the sketch is pushback on that, which is that, yes, you know, if Trump voters are supporting a vision of America that does not have room for Black Lives Matter or for similar political movements, and that this is a real problem, that this is a real obstacle, and that we shouldn't look past it just because people might really be suffering.
Okay. Well, Jamel Bowie, thanks very much.
Thank you.
He's chief political correspondent at Slate.